This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have built on in. The Giants have won the pennant.
Giants are hot, man.
Jeez. Mashing the ball, winning ball games, winning series. It's fun, man. But Giants baseball is fun again. And that's what we wanted, right? We talked about that all offseason. We just want a fun team. And this team is a blast.
This is not corporate baseball.
No.
They're back to having fun, having some characters, good guys to root for.
Get a guy like Roop who goes tonight. We're recording this on Monday night in the middle of the game. Well, actually in the seventh inning of the game. And Roop gives up 3 runs in the first. And, you know, Melvin leaves him out there and says, hey, kid, get after it. Get us 5. And he does. He gets through and gives up 1 more run in the fifth inning and gets through 5 and saves the bullpen because they don't have many days off. This is a very long road stretch right now.
Yeah, so as we are recording, the Giants just took an 8-4 lead with a Mike Yastrzemski home run after a Tyler Fitzgerald triple. Tyler Fitzgerald also got them on the board with a 3-run jack in, was it the second inning, I believe?
Yeah, so two legs of the cycle, dare we say.
So he's coming alive a little bit. He's been struggling. Adamas also struggling, and he also hit a home run today. So maybe those are signs of things to come for both of those guys. Before we actually get into the nuts and bolts of this show, doing a little crossover pod action here because the Golden State Valkyries are just made their first ever WNBA draft pick. Now I'm butchering this name for sure. With the 5th pick, Lithuanian player who Brian called on our last podcast, last death lineup, Juste Josite, something like that. Lithuanian player. Some people were talking about comparing her to Luka, but the one key thing about her, which is actually very interesting, is the WNBA has a rule that American-born college players, they have to be, it's something like over 21. I forget the exact terminology, but they want the players to be older, so they can't actually, like, because they have some really good freshman sophomores in college right now. Because of the NIL, they're not really necessarily having to chomp at the bit to come to play.
Yeah.
In the WNBA, but they do make sure that they stay longer. So because she's foreign, though, what's interesting is I guess she was born in the U.S., so maybe that threw some teams off as far as what the rules were in selecting her. But she's 19, and another woman who was born, Dominique Malonga, she was the second pick. She's also 19. So those are like now the two youngest players in the WNBA, but they can come over because they didn't play in the U.S. So some funky WNBA rules. But Brian is in Thrive City, which is the area around the Warriors state, the Chase Center. So they have like this section called Thrive City, and there's a giant like 200-foot screen on the side of the arena, so you can actually watch the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
So they're showing that out. So Brian's out there. I think he's going to send me some video that we may turn into a YouTube short sometime later tonight, just on the scene. He's on the scene of where the Valkyries play. So, all right, now let's get back to Giants baseball. The theme of this weekend was taking 2 out of 3 in New York, the first time they'd ever won a series off of the Yankees in the regular season. Obviously, just with the way that interleague play has happened, there hasn't been too many occasions of those. But that was kind of I don't know if you felt like that was like a stamp on their success or something, but I just thought going into New York, that was a series kind of built for them to get knocked back down to where people think that they are, you know, a little bit above average team or whatever. Let's knock them down a peg. They're a little high and mighty, especially after the Red series at home where they get shut out in 2 games. And you're like, okay, what's going on here? In one of those games was Hunter Green, which, you know, he's going to do that to a few teams this year. But, you know, losing 2 games, 1-0, and then finally breaking out in game 3, the getaway game, and then coming to New York and you're like, man, you know, if they take 3 and they just get beat up in this series, that's bad, because then you got to go to Philly. And game 1, it's raining. It's like pouring out there.
Yeah.
And they're just slowly but surely adding runs. And they eventually called the game after the 6th. And the Giants are like up 8-1. And you're like, wow, like this was actually really impressive. Yankees win game 2. And then last night, or actually yesterday morning, Jung-Hoo Lee's like, y'all got to remember my name. He hits 2 jacks, or no, he hit a jack in the did he hit 2 yesterday, or did he hit them in different games?
Yeah, he hit 2 on Sunday and 1 on Friday night in that mashing first inning where I think they put up 5 or 6 runs in the first inning on Friday night.
You can actually find a Korean call on those home runs, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But this was like a coming out party for him. I think, you know, a lot of the hardcore baseball fans know who he is, obviously, but from a national perspective, I'm sure there's lots of fans who are like, I'm sure lots of Yankee fans are like, who the heck is this guy? This little guy putting the ball out of the yard against us. That was awesome. Seeing him, he's hitting 3-hole, and we're all kind of like, should he be hitting 3 or 1, or like, what's going on here? And he powers 3 home runs in the series, and you're just like, maybe this guy is special. Like, that was kind of my thought coming out of it. And Grant Brisby wrote a whole piece on it, was like, it's way too early to ask if this guy's a superstar, but we're going to ask anyways. And man, just tremendous. He looks the part, though, which is kind of the thing. And that's how sometimes you feel like you can, sometimes like the players who live up to that moment, you sort of, there's a look, there's a confidence, they sort of feel like they belong there. And that's what you see with him. Now there's a stability thing, availability, you know, he's off. He was hurt last year. He'd been hurt before, but at the same time, he's like, multi-time all-star in the Korean League. So who is this guy, and who is he going to be on the Giants? That's going to be a fun thing to watch all season long.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we got kind of robbed of his coming of age last year, and we just kind of figure out the league and everything else. And he came in, I mean, it's like he matured in that time that he missed, which is amazing, because I thought it was going to take him a while. I think everybody thought it was going to take him a little bit of while, you know, a little while to kind of get going, but he's thriving in that 3-hole. And I think that's kind of a big deal. Being the leadoff hitter, you're seeing a lot of pitches, you're working the count. He could do that. I mean, that's the type of player he is, but being in the 3-hole and having runners on base in front of you, he seems to get a little more dialed in. He's got the clutch gene, you know, and that's one of those things when you're looking at you know, free agency and picking this guy up, and the Giants didn't get this guy, they didn't get that guy. The Giants seem to have amassed players in their lineup over the last couple of seasons that are clutch type of hitters, and Buster Posey is just going to build on that. And Jung Hoo Lee is that clutch type of guy. We've probably got two or three guys, maybe even four in the lineup that I would like to see at the plate with the bases loaded and the game on the line. And I know we kind of joke about it sometimes, but Yaz, I think right now is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they just gave up a run a couple innings prior, and they needed to kind of build. You can't sit there with a 6-4 lead in Philadelphia with that lineup, and Yaz comes up with a runner on base and nobody out and crushes a 2-run shot. And he's got a walk off last week, and you know, just seeing all of that coming from Yaz, is it warms my heart. It makes me happy. Everybody was so down on him for the last couple of years, but he's getting a chance to start a game in right field and finish the game in right field. You know, get 4 or 5 at bats in a game, play all 9. And he's that type of ball player. And he's talked about that before. And I'm getting off track with Jung Hoo Lee, but yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know how much further higher you can go with Jung Hoo Lee. Yeah, he's going to scuffle. He's going to have some issues. And he's still learning, not center field, but center field in Oracle, which is a different beast. You could play center field in pretty much any ballpark, but as soon as you go to Oracle and you get wind and you get the cooler nights and you get a summer day where it's 86 and then all of a sudden at night it's like 65, you know, 2 hours later and the fog rolls in.
I think you're gonna start seeing some funky lefties come at him too. They're gonna start figuring out their bullpen, trying to get him out and keep him off base. And that's kind of like a tip of the cap kind of thing too.
Yeah, for sure. But if you surround him with Adamas, you know, ahead of him, and then Chapman behind him, you know, then you've got a situation where you can bring in a lefty, but because of the rule that I hate, the 3-batter rule, that lefty's going to have to face Chapman next. So it'll be a good situation.
Don't forget about Wilmer McGuire up there. Hitting jacks.
That's right. And then, yeah, then you got to deal with Wilmer. So, you know, you've got your righties in the lineup. But yeah, it's exciting to see. It's a lot of fun. And speaking of lefties, Eric Miller is out there. He's got 2 runners on with 2 outs. He's kind of scuffling a little bit, but it looks humid. It looks warm. I mean, the game time temperature, I think at the beginning of the game was like 68, 70 degrees, something like that. So it's definitely warmer than it was in New York.
Well, Real Muto is up, and I already cut him off of my fantasy team because he was fake a Muto for the first 2 or 3 weeks.
You had enough of him, huh?
He was the very last pick of my draft, and I was like, I just need a backup catcher. What am I gonna do? Or actually, you know what? I was trying to think. No, he was my only catcher, which was part of the problem.
Ooh.
So why I had to get rid of him, because the kid from Texas, Jonah Heim. Yeah, he's already got like 4 or 5 jacks. I was like, he doesn't play every day, but it's better than fake a Muto.
And I see you picked up Wilmer McGuire too.
I did pick up Wilmer McGuire today because one of my infielders went on the 10-day. Let's talk about a little bit more about Jung Hoo. Because the question, and Buster Posey has even answered this question, which is, how do you attract free agents? And Buster Posey's answer was, you kind of got to win, right? You got to make where you play very attractive for some of the bigger players. And they have to do that in order to draw certain guys. Now, I'll name some of these guys because you were talking about this earlier today. Like, how do you attract a Kyle Tucker to this team next year? Tim Kawakami added a couple other guys. How do you attract a Kyle Schwarber or a Luis Robert Jr.? Like, those guys would kind of be next level of building your team, because they're not the tippy-tippy top guys. But they're like the building block guys. They're like your Matt Chapmans. Yeah, I wish Louis Bob was having a little bit better season so far.
Yeah. But, well, and the problem is if he does have a good season, the Dodgers are going to be hunting him down too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a problem. So
yeah, for sure. But at the same time, is if Jung-Hoo Lee becomes a little bit of a fan favorite or like a baseball celebrity, that helps bring more awareness to the team. And look at the Dodgers in Japan. Like, can the Giants become that for Korea? You know, can they be a little bit of a pipeline, but also just the eyeballs from Korea onto Major League Baseball? They're rooting for Jung-Hoo. Like, there's some interesting things having someone like him become a superstar, a budding superstar. So that, I think that's really interesting, because if we can get another guy, like if we utilize this season and it's very early, but let's be positive and say that they're, you know, in the running for the wild card and all the vibes are good and attractive. And you got Willy Adames going like, hey guys, you know, to other players, like, this place is cool.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a building block to getting more folks. And you already know from a pitcher standpoint that you can find guys to pitch in this ballpark. So it really is just adding bats. And I think that's the next level for these guys.
Well, and the Giants have put together a defense where you're going to attract pitchers. I mean, I'm sure Verlander, you know, he did say the Giants weren't even on my radar and the Buster Posey came knocking. Again, you get the name Buster Posey. He came knocking on the door and said, hey, what about San Francisco? And he said, look at this defense. Look at this ballpark. And then he thought, oh, yeah, actually, that's kind of a nice place. Mm-hmm. So if you get a veteran like Verlander going there, Blake Snell was kind of a one-off because that was just more like, you know, who had the bigger bag of money at that point of the mm-hmm. season, you know, that point of the off season. And that's what he took and ran with. But you get a guy like Verlander who says, you know what, I can go there. I can hone my skills. It's a little bit cooler temperatures. Ball is a little bit heavier at night with the fog. You know, day games are they can be a little bit rough. The ball can fly. I mean, we've seen that on the weekends, you know, on a Saturday afternoon with no wind or anything, we've seen the ball fly out of the ballpark. So yeah, you can attract free agents. I'd love to see a Kyle Tucker look at the lineup and say, you know what, I fit in there just right. Because again, Yaz, he's not going to be around forever. He's about 35 years old. He's going to be 35 years old. And I think he only has, I think this might have been his last year of arbitration. I'll have to look it up for sure. But
and we've always said he would be an amazing fourth outfielder. And he's a good starting outfielder, but he would be an amazing fourth outfielder.
Absolutely. Especially, late defensive replacement, throw him in right field. He's saving games out there. I mean, those, so you can start to attract outfielders. I'm getting a little down on Elliot Ramos because he's scuffling quite a bit, but he's still young. He's still got some growing to do. He did have a base hit tonight, back up the middle. When he starts to use all the field, he's a much better hitter. When he's not trying to yank everything, everything on the outside part of the plate, he's trying to yank it to left field. That's not going to play. I can see Elliot Ramos being more of like a 300 hitter, look at that, 305 hitter, something like that. And maybe cuts down on the home runs a little bit because he's starting to use all the field, but we've also seen the power to right field. I mean, shoot, he had a splash hit to right field. So we've seen that.
The thing about him is his swing is built off of the idea of like home run or strikeout. Like that's how he kind of came up, right? The teaching of him through the entire existence of the Zaidi way. And it does seem like he's got a lot of that in his swing. So it's either like, you know, all or nothing in some cases. By the way, Fake Amuto did strike out. So we got out of that inning.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if you saw it, but he hit a ball that was about, I don't know, 2 feet from being a 3-run home run. Yeah, he did strike out on a slider that was a good 6 inches off the plate. But, you know,
there we go.
That happens.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer. Cash incentives or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
So here's a question. Which is, how do you like the new City Connects?
Yeah, so I see you're wearing the lid. If you're watching on YouTube, Garrett's got the new City Connect lid. I'll tell you how much I like them. I ordered a hat. It's on the way. It'll be here Wednesday. That, and I ordered from the Homage website. I don't know if you've ever been there, if anybody's ever been there, but they do have some Major League Baseball, some NFL stuff. All the stuff that they do is pretty classic. But I did order the San Francisco Giants Grateful Dead t-shirt to go along with the hat because I love the tie-dye. I always said this team, back when they started doing City Connects, I go, this team needs to embrace the Summer of Love, San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury, tie-dye. And so doing it this time around just kind of warms my heart. I think everybody's in agreement. Don't tell Logan Webb because he had a hand in this, but the SF on the hat it's going to take some getting used to. I like the font. It's a nice font. It doesn't scream Giants. And the font on the front of the jersey, even though it says Giants, it doesn't scream Giants because if they were going for the graffiti look is what they were talking about, how about some drips? How about some paint drips coming off of it? That would have been kind of cool. But either way, I've embraced it. I really like it. I love the socks. I love the nod to music. I love the jerseys with the record grooves in it. Because you and I, you know, we're record collectors. We've been record fans for years. So we're into LP and vinyl and all that. So I dig it, man. I think it's really cool. I know there's, what is it, maybe 50-50 or 60-40 for people against it. But hey. You know what? Anytime you give me a black uniform, a black jersey, and you give me record grooves on it with a nod to music, I'm in, man.
Yeah, I didn't get that hat yet, but that's the one that I want more.
That's a cool hat. Yeah.
The most is that black with the record vinyl grooves. So yeah, any time, web designer will tell you this, like every time Facebook changed how it looked, like people would be up in arms, and it wouldn't be 60-40, it'd be like 99-1. And then in 2 weeks they're just so used to it, and then they forget about it. And that's
then if you change it, they go, we'll bring back the old one.
The thing about these, I you know, and we saw this with the old ones, the creamsicle or what, that cream orange or whatever they called that orange.
Yeah.
The one with the fog and everything.
Yeah.
Those were not well liked when they came out. And, you know, the white jersey and all that. So I think it'll take a little while for these. I still am not used to that font on the actual jersey, but I do like the hat. I do like the colors. I learned about the purple or the violet or whatever that comes from like the early 1900s. I guess the Giants had a violet in their jersey or in their color scheme. And of course, because the Valkyries are here, they are a violet team as well. So I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. And so we'll see. I'm digging them. Now the thing is they got to win with them on. That's
yeah,
the
yeah.
key.
Yeah, they're 0-1 with him. They did announce they will be here for 4 years. This is a 4-year rotation. I have to say, I liked the old ones for the most part. Wasn't a huge fan. I'm just not a fan of white on white. That's mm-hmm. I don't really care for that. It's not a look that I like. I don't wear white. I can't even wear a white hat. I don't know. It's something about it. I just feel like it's going to get too dirty. But the orange hats, I missed my chance to actually get one. I should have gotten one of the City Connect orange hats. So I'm going to see if I can still find one online somewhere. I do like these much better already than the old City Connects. And like you said, what are you going to wear them 10 times? I just looked. They're going to wear them 13 times this year.
Yeah.
That's it. 13 times. And one of the games that we're going to be at, they're actually going to be wearing them. So I'm happy to have the hat. I'm happy to get my Grateful Dead Giant shirt. I'll peace out. I'll hippie out, man, while we're at the ballpark, and we'll have a good time.
So the question, I wanted to bring this question up because I thought it was a really good, actually not even a question, but it was a comment on one of the videos that we put up. I think it was the JT Snow video that we did about his comment from last week's show. I put that in its own clip on our YouTube. Our YouTube page. And so we had an interesting comment from Supramental Manifestation. Hey, so this person
That's a mouthful of a name. I think I got to cut that one down a little bit.
So Supramental Manifestation said, I was always down on the Farhan haters because he did have utility. And I am freaking loving the start of the second Buster Posey era. Farhan left us some great pieces to work with. Orange and black, baby. And what I liked about his comment is because it was very similar to our thoughts on the Farhan time frame. We had one great season and a bunch of middling average ones.
Yeah.
But the question was never about whether or not he could find talent or spot talent and on the margins and this and that. The question was really about, could he like lead a winning organization? Like that's right. Ultimately kind of where we landed. And that is what you hire a Buster Posey for, is you want to lead an organization. You need a leader who's going to say something and his words are valuable and they're going to stick and people are going to go, yeah, like what Buster said. Farhan's personality didn't seem to be that. And a lot of the things that they did as far as, you know, taking up parts of the clubhouse for the computers and the analytics and, you know, maybe building on things that didn't really relate as much to chemistry as previous ball clubs, which, you know, maybe that means a little bit more to the fans than it means to the ball club, but it's kind of the reverse of what they're doing now. But I went back to what I said last week, which is, would we feel the same if they were not winning? Would we be all about the Buster vibes? Would we be all about Buster ball? Because the reason why we are is because they've had a great start. Now, fast forward a week or a month, and they may not be at the same winning percentage. Probably not. Like, it's really hard to stay at the winning percentage that they are at. And so I want to check back in when they do struggle to see where fans are. But some of this is really belief in Buster and maybe not believing in Farhan. And I think where I ended with Supramental Manifestation is, I think Farhan would have probably been great in talent, in
right,
scouting, or, you know, maybe not scouting in the same way that we think of scouting, but just evaluating talent and farm system and all that. The part where he seems to be lacking is being the president and the leader of something and really getting people who work for you to believe in what you're saying. That seems to be where the difference is. And I wanted to get your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, I you know, I'm kind of on board with you. We've always had the same thought process on this. I like to see, give me, you know, like with Buster Posey, give me a couple of seasons. I want to see a couple of seasons and kind of grow from there. Now, if this team started out what were they last year? 6-9, I think, after 15 games. So if this team started out 6-9 or, 5-10 or something like that, you think, ah, this team is regressing. It's, is it the players? Is it, you know, what is it? What's happening? But after watching this start, you kind of feel like, you know, and again, I liked Farhan for who he was. He found gems. He found Lamont Wade Jr. and had some good times. And he found Yaz, and Yaz is, kind of going above and beyond right now. And I just wonder if Farhan just couldn't get out of his own way of analytics. You know, I never bought into the concept of, you have a manager in the dugout and you have a co-manager in the front office that's going to send you sheets of who to play when and who does mm-hmm. what. And I don't like that, and I don't want it. And I don't think Buster Posey is that way either. I think you need to let Bob Melvin manage the team. If a guy is hot, and Bob Melvin's the guy talking to everybody in the clubhouse daily, he knows exactly what's going on. Let him choose the lineup. Let him decide when hitter, you know, he's, of course, Bob Melvin's going to look at analytics because he came up with that type of stuff in Oakland. And, So he's going to use it, but I want to see him use it in a way that also goes with the feel. And I kind of think that's what's going on right now. And that's what makes me happy, because I kind of feel like we're playing baseball again. We're not, it's not. And again, you know how much we hate the Dodgers, and I'm not saying this to knock the Dodgers, but I mean, if you look at the Dodgers and the analytics and the everything else, sometimes you sit there and you go, God, you know, Roki Sasaki is getting, you know, 5 innings in a game, mm-hmm. giving up 1 run, and then the bullpen comes in and gives up 15 runs. So what went wrong there? You know, was it an analytic thing where they were looking at that and going, okay, he's throwing X amount of pitches? You go for like Landon Roop tonight. He gives up 3 runs. Last year, would that have been time to pull Landon Roop and let's go stretch that bullpen and see what we could do? Well, we're in the middle of a 16-game road trip. So, no, you don't want to do something like that. Is it 16 games? I don't think it's 16 games. I think that's too many. But either way, I like the way things are going right now in terms of give Bob Melvin the reins, let him run the team. He is the manager. You hired him to manage the team. And now we're seeing the real Bob Melvin. And I like that. And again, there's going to be downtimes. Like I said, we got shut out 2 games in a row in Cincinnati. There are going to be downtimes, but for this team to be able to turn around and bounce back into what they've become since those 2 shutouts, that's what I like to see. And having a confident manager, confident players on the field, a Willy Adames to glue everybody together, a Justin Verlander who you can turn to and say, hey, you know, you've been around the bigs for a long time. When you go through losing streaks, what do? And Verlander can help him out with that. So it's nice to see. And I'm sure Landon Roop is going to turn to Verlander tonight and say, hey, look, man, I got blown up in the first inning. And Verlander got blown up in 1 inning in his last outing, too, at home and in that final game at home. So they can turn to each other and say, look, this is how you dig out of it. So having a team like that is just such a nice change right now. And I don't want to jump ahead. And it's so hard not to jump ahead, but you got to enjoy this team for what it is right now.
I did see the Real Muto strikeout pitch. Oh my gosh, that pitch was outside.
It's not even close. There's another one coming up too that's not even close either.
Oh my goodness.
Tyler Rogers just got on, I think it was Stott or Marsh. I didn't quite see, but.
Oh, we are back. We are in the top of the ninth now.
Yeah. There we go.
I wonder, do they let Rogers go? Or are they going to make a...
I think at this time, I think at this point, I hate to say it, but maybe it's time for Camilo. Camilo hasn't pitched in 5 days now. So you got a 4-run lead. I think you maybe go to Camilo here, let him face 3 batters and see what he can do.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. He hasn't pitched well. All right. So,
hasn't pitched well, but he's still on the team, so you got to run him out.
Yeah, you do.
Leave him,
Yeah, you, you don't
kill the kid's confidence.
You need him to have some good outings to build up the confidence. So did you do, I didn't even ask if you did a player of the week this week.
I did.
All right.
And I had to give it to, I mean, it's kind of obvious. It was, this one's going to Jung-Hoo Lee. We talked about him earlier. Three home runs, eight ribs on the week, 7.7% K rate. And that's when we signed Jung-Hoo Lee, that's what we heard a lot about. He makes contact. He puts the ball in play. Give me nine Jung-Hoo Lees and you win a championship. You know, nine Jung-Hoo Lees and good pitching and you win a championship. That's pretty much how it goes. WRC plus of 281, still playing an extremely solid outfield and just doing his thing, man. Just becoming the player we were hoping he would become. So it's pretty awesome. Hey, I just got a note from Lee's Discount Liquor in Las Vegas that they have meet your favorite WWE wrestlers. that's kind of fun. They got Bron Breakker, Trick Williams, Sheamus. Those guys are going to be there. So
do you may know Bron Breakker's dad and uncle.
Who's
that? Did you ever see the Steiner brothers from?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm old. Yes, I've seen the Steiner brothers.
That's
I'm an old man.
Rick Steiner's son is Bron.
Oh, that's
Breaker.
Very cool. Yeah. So those guys are going to be at Lee's Discount Liquor in Vegas. That's Lee's Discount Liquor is like, it is the biggest liquor chain in all of Nevada. The family, they've got one up here. They've got a couple down in Vegas. It is like they will do anything they can to beat Total Wine prices. So. No, it's not a commercial for them. I'm just saying.
So the reason why they're there is because WrestleMania is in Vegas next weekend or this weekend.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and that'll be on Peacock, right? Because I have that, so I like
it'll
to watch
be on
that.
Peacock. I'm gonna be out there Thursday, so I'm covering it for the Wrestling Observer, and we're also having like convention stuff out there. So I'll get to see some people who I don't get to see that often. So that'll be fun. But you know what? Let's just make this, and this is not the end of the show, because we got to look at the schedule for next week or for this week and early next week. So the old guy alley is about me preparing for Las Vegas. And usually I'm like 2 days max in Las Vegas. You get your 2 days in and then you're like ready to go and I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not leaving till Monday. That is going to be my longest stint in Vegas in a very, very long time.
How many days is that?
So 4 days. It'll be almost four full days.
Get some pool time in. That'll make it worth it.
Here's the problem. There's no time. I got to be at so many events and I'm doing some podcasts from out there. And I'm going to, I don't think I'm going to actually go to actual WrestleMania. I think WWE is not happy with the website that I do stuff for.
Oh no.
I got turned down for a credential and another couple of people got turned down for credentials, which is kind of ridiculous for where we are in the standing of the ecosystem of that side of pop culture. And so I'm like, do I even want to pay money to go to the show? Like, I've been to a bunch of WrestleManias. I don't necessarily need to do that. So what do I do? But, okay, so here's my main worry. And this is where it turns into old guy alley. I'm looking at the times, and specifically at the times in which we are supposed to eat dinner. And I'm going like, how am I going to get my fasting in? We're eating too late.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough.
How am I gonna get the sleep that I need to get in? And when you go to Vegas, like that should be the last thing on your mind is sleep. Yeah. But that's where my head is. So I'm you know, once I get there, I'll adapt and I'll be good and I'll be like, okay, like, you know, I'll make it work. But the dread right now is like, oh man, how am I gonna track all of my food correctly? Like,
it's like you're gonna come back tired as hell. it happens in Vegas. So we go to Vegas, we try to go like once a year for like 5 days. We drive down there, we're there for five straight days and then drive home. But we usually stay at a place that's not a casino. It's like a resort, gigantic pool, what are they called? Lazy River, all kinds of fun stuff to do. Kids are older now, but you know, the beautiful thing is you wake up, and when we go on vacation, see, you're working. When we go, we get up in the morning, we go sit on the, you know, on the balcony of the hotel, look, overlook the pool, sit there, drink coffee, read, relax. So there's a lot of relaxing when we go to Vegas. It's not a stressful trip. It's not like Disneyland where we're going on vacation to Disneyland, but you come back and you're exhausted because you're going all day long. But see, you're going to be working. So I think it's going to fly by. And I think the stuff that you're going to eat, you just have to go and realize, like, I just have to go, bite the bullet, be completely out of routine, and then come home and reset.
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And that is how I will do it. But yeah. I like, you know, my wife and I, we do the thing with the sleep, and you track it on your phone, and we kind of compare, like, oh, who had the better sleep last night? Right. You know, that kind of thing. And then while I'm in Vegas, I'm going to look at my sleep, and it's going to be nothing but bad. It's going to be off. Like,
Now, when you're on vacation, do you sleep with earplugs?
I do not.
Always. I always do. And I get earplugs and a half of a CBD gummy,
mm-hmm.
and I sleep the entire night, like 8 hours. I don't hear anything. I don't wake up. It's they're those earplugs that are, they're kind of those new style comfort earplugs with the loop. I guess they're called loop. I don't really know, but you know, we bought some knockoffs.
So I'm at an Airbnb. So I think I'm not in a hotel, so I won't hear all that noise. So I think I'll be good on that.
Yeah, probably.
But also, you know, sleeping outside of your bed, those things probably do help anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. All right. Let's look at the schedule for this week for the Giants. The Giants are currently, actually, we'll look at the records. They're still playing right now. The game is not over. They did add another two runs. Holy crap. I didn't even see
that. Yeah, they did. So we got a Tyler Fitzgerald leadoff double. So three legs of the cycle. And then Yaz a double right after that. And then he got moved over to third. And then Chapman just got an infield knock.
So if they win, which they're doing very well, they've not won yet, they'll be 12-4. The Padres are
hot. He is warming up. So this is the time. You got to bring in Camilo now with a 6-run lead.
Padres are best team in baseball. At least record-wise, they're the best team in baseball.
And I think if they win tonight, that'll be the best home start, because they'll be undefeated at home in like 13, 12 games, something like that. That'll be the best home start in like over a decade. So
really, that's really good. Really good stuff for the National League West, but that also makes our jobs a lot harder. But as I was telling my buddy who's a Dodgers fan, I was like, the way to get to 100 wins is you better hope that the Giants and the Padres are good, because they're going to chase you and you guys are going to need to be chased.
Yeah. And I, you know, the nice thing I like about this Giants team right now is that I don't feel like they're playing to keep up with everybody. I feel like they're just playing their brand of baseball, and it's just happening organically. It's not forced. They're not looking at the standings saying, if we want to win this division, or if we want to make a wild card, we have to look to see what the Dodgers and Padres are doing, and even the Diamondbacks. They're just playing their brand of baseball, and they are having a good time. And that's why I don't feel like this is forced, and it's completely organic, and I'm enjoying it.
So the rest of this week for the Giants, so they have three in Philadelphia. So they will play the rest of their games tomorrow and Wednesday, both early starts, actually four games in Philly, early starts for us, 3:45 and 3:45 Tuesday and Wednesday, and then a 1:05 game, on Thursday. This is crazy. They got to fly from the East Coast to the West Coast and immediately play the next day. So they are, like you said, the Angels, who are currently 9-6. Friday, Saturday evening games at 6:30, and then Sunday game at 1 o'clock. And then they finally come home, Brewers and Rangers. And then end of April, they do go to San Diego. So that's kind of an early one to circle if both teams are still hot.
Yeah, I said a 16 game road trip. I think what I was meaning was they actually have a 17 games in a row.
Oh, okay.
They don't have a day off in 17 games. Then after they play that Rangers game at home at the end of these 17 games, they've got a day off to get to San Diego, and then they play two games in San Diego, then back home for color. So it's a two-game road trip to San Diego, which is kind of weird. They're playing six at home, Brewers for four. No, actually seven. Brewers for four, Rangers for three, go on the road to San Diego for two, back home for Colorado for four.
So yeah, Colorado's the only team who's not good in the NL West.
No, and you've seen the Dodgers. I know I send this to you guys nightly. I'm not obsessed with the Dodgers, but the Dodgers run differential after last night's 4-2 loss is even. It's zero. That is their run differential, which is bizarre to see for the Dodgers. 15. I think they're actually like 16 or 17 games into the season because they had those two in Japan to start the season. But yeah.
It is funny because a lot of that comes in the one game where they lose 16-0.
Yeah.
Which well, is no, fine.
We're not
they
counting.
All count. they all count. But the problem with the team right now is the pitching hasn't yet been dominant because the Padres have only given up 43 runs. The Giants have given up 52. So add four today, 56. And the Dodgers have given up 74. Even the Diamondbacks have scored the most runs in the West, but they've also given up a lot of runs themselves. Yeah. And then the Colorado Rockies might be the worst team in the league this year.
Well, and Arizona, right? I mean, you've been there for a few games. That ballpark plays pretty small sometimes, right? Especially if you have the roof closed. There's no wind. And it is a big ballpark in terms of dimensions of the outfield fence, but you can hit home runs in that ballpark.
So the Giants pitching boded very well in New York because New York is second in all of baseball in runs scored still, even though the Giants kind of shut them down in two of those games. So they still have the second highest overall run scored. But we may have to break up the Cubs. 116 runs in 18 games, which is by far the highest in all of baseball. Like, they are over 100. There's only two other teams who have scored 90 runs and then a couple in 80s. But, man, the Cubs are on fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Cubs, I saw it on Blue Sky the other day. Somebody said, I can't believe the Dodgers lost 16-0 to a terrible team. And I said, you know, the Cubs are they have the number two offense in the majors. At that point, even before that game, they were the number two offense in the majors. So,
all right. So I think we are good to go here. We hit all of the topics that we wanted. And, we got a little bit of shorter show than usual, but I will say I had the end of the bottle of the Steph Curry Bourbon Gentleman's Cut. So it took me a while to finish that bottle, so I had the last of it, which was good, and I kind of feel like I needed to kind of have a little bit more, and I may have like another drink today or tomorrow because I have to build up this tolerance for Vegas because
you can't go in there having,
there's just going to be people like wanting to drink or wanting to buy me drinks and all that night. So I got to be ready for it. But I'm not driving, so I don't care that much, but I'm always good. I love, even if I do have a couple of drinks, I'm a water drinker too. So I'm pretty smart with how I deal. So I guess before we go, I saw you had something similar to what I had. What was in your glass?
Yeah, this is my favorite. I love Evan Williams bottled in bond. I mean, you can get this bottle for like, you can find it on sale for $15. It's 100 proof. It's bottled in bond. So it's bottled under the U.S. government supervision. And mm-hmm. I think that act was put out in like the 1940s, maybe. Money from this bottle, I believe, goes to the military. And that's why it's a bottled in bond U.S. Yeah, bottled in bond means that some of the money does go to like U.S. bonds and the U.S. government and the U.S. Although now I don't know if I want it to. but either way, had a 2 ounce slug of some Evan Williams bottled in bond with actually put two ice cubes today because I wanted to drag it out a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So we will be back. We will be back Monday. I fly back from Vegas on Monday, so I might be a little tired.
We could do Tuesday too.
I get home early enough that I think it'll be okay. But we'll figure it out if Monday or Tuesday works best. But what I was going to say is, I think what I'm going to have to do is maybe on the flight home is when I'm going to have to catch up on all of my reading. But I will try and read. You know, I'll keep up with the team. I don't know if I want to put any bets on them to jinx them in any way. We'll have to figure that one out.
If you haven't done any to this point, I wouldn't do it. Camilo Duvall went 1-2-3. Look at that.
There we go. That's good. So we end the show at the perfect time that the Giants win their game. But what I was going to say is that I think it was 2016, you know, because I was playing the whole even year thing where I did when I was in Vegas, I did put money on them to win the World Series. I was like, oh, let's just, you know, be funny and do it. And I didn't put a lot of money, maybe $25 or something. But that is kind of like a fun bet where you're like, there's very little chance of me winning. But it makes you kind of wonder if, it keeps you on the ball with that team.
Oh, yeah. So. We should post it on our social media, but I did. I think I still have the ticket. I put $10 on the Giants to win the World Series in 2010.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, during spring training.
What were the odds then?
Oh, it was like 12-1, 15-1, something. So I won like $150. But I mean, it wasn't anything fancy, but I'm just going to put down $10. If I would have put down $100, now we're talking.
Yeah, you're talking some money. Real cash. Yeah, there you go. All right, that'll be it from here. So for Brad, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Ram trucks have always powered American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer, cash incentives, or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details, because nothing stops America and nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/25. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.